This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 29th of August 2025. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. May I first introduce our readers for this week, Deborah Cranmer.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
Jackie Donnellan.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Peter Lydiard. So we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861 229. That is 01962 861 229, and this number can also be found on the key fob attached to the memory stick. As you listen to the recording, remember that you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen to them again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, apart from using the memory stick in the box provided, you can load it onto your own device. Now, we are pleased to confirm that we seem to have overcome the problems that we were experiencing with uploading our recordings onto our website. So you can now also access the weekly recording of the Chronicle through our website, which is www.winchestertalkingnews.com. The recording is also available on two Southampton community radio stations, that is Awaz Radio and Fiesta FM. So, on to our headline stories, starting with Deborah, who's got Campaigners Fight to Save Bus Service.
Petition to retain vital route in takedown and full flood. Campaigners have launched a last-ditch petition to save a vital bus route. Operator Stagecoach has revised bus timetables and routes in the Winchester area beginning on Sunday, August the 31st. And many residents are becoming increasingly concerned for the future of travel. The number 4 service, which runs from Highcliffe to the city centre and Takedown, announced that it will no longer serve full flood and Takedown due to low patronage. The petition, led by Edna Bowden, 84, of Greenhill Road, and other full flood residents, calls for Stagecoach to reconsider their decision and reroute another bus service. Residents hope Stagecoach will consider rerouting either Hairstock No. 3 or Sparsholt No. 7 to link with Full Flood, which would maintain a service for residents and give them a direct route to the hospital or the railway station. I'm so sorry. Mrs. Bowden said, "Living on a bus route is one of the main reasons I've managed to remain in my house, as age has encroached upon me." The number 4 is a long-standing, valuable community bus service which enables full flood residents to get directly to Waitrose in one direction, the Royal Hampshire County Hospital and railway station in the other, and a direct route into the town centre. To remove this bus will put many elderly or infirm residents into isolation, both socially and mentally, and could be damaging to their health and well-being. Also, the council are asking us to keep cars out of the town, and then they stop the buses. Former City Councillor Karen Barrett, 82, of Byron Avenue, Full Flood, said, "It will affect a number of my elderly neighbours, but also young families who rely on the bus service. The cut will also encourage people who have the option of a car to drive into the city centre. Compulsory eye tests for old people will see more elderly people giving up their cars and needing the buses. There are 5 mature residents currently going door to door in Full Flood who hope to collate forms by the end of the week and pass them to Winchester MP Danny Chambers. The petition is not online, as Ms. Bowden wanted to ensure that it was supported by local Full Flood residents with genuine signatures. Currently, the petition has 84 signatures from 3 collectors, and more names will be added over the coming days. A Stagecoach spokesperson said, Stagecoach South is introducing a series of changes, bringing faster journeys, more buses at busy times, and timetables better suited to local needs. The changes include major improvements on key routes funded by Hampshire County Council's Bus Service Improvement Plan, as well as timetable adjustments to better manage passenger demand and school and college travel patterns.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, you've got 8 years for throwing boiling water over a prisoner, is that
well,
right?
Not me personally, but yes. A man has been sentenced after throwing boiling water over a fellow inmate at Winchester Prison. Dashiell Mahi, 26, was sentenced on Monday, August the 18th at Winchester Crown Court. A jury found Mahi guilty of causing grievous bodily harm with intent following a three-day trial at Salisbury Crown Court in June. Mahi, previously of North Road, Richmond-upon-Thames, approached the victim Aaron Phillips in a cell, threw a bottle of hot water, causing injury to Mr. Phillips's face, neck and shoulder. Mahi then started to punch Mr. Phillips on the ground before prison officers intervened. Mr. Phillips, who's in his 20s, was later taken to a specialist unit at hospital for treatment for his burns. The incident was reported to the police. An investigation found that Mahi had left his own cell with a kettle hidden in a bucket, then waited behind the shower block door before going to the cell where Mr. Phillips was and attacking him. The court heard that Mahi had previous convictions for violence in prison as well as one for the sexual exploitation of a child. Mahi was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment with an additional 2 years on licence after the judge deemed him to be a dangerous offender. Speaking after the hearing, Active Detective Sergeant Matthew Chapman said this was a premeditated attack on another inmate and could have resulted in more serious injury.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, 1,000 bikers to pay tribute to musician.
More than 1,000 bikers are expected to turn out to a memorial ride for a much-loved community stalwart who was killed in a fatal motorbike crash in Bishop's Waltham. Active motorcyclist and musician Simon Andrews was named as the victim of a fatal collision that saw a red Ducati motorcycle hit a blue Land Rover Discovery on the B2177 Winchester Road on August the 14th. Tributes have flooded in for the beloved lead singer of band Something Else, with The Style Inn posting that the Hampshire music scene will not be the same without him. A memorial bike ride has now been scheduled on Monday, September the 15th, as more than 1,000 bikers are set to travel from the Pear Tree Inn on Pear Tree Road in Woolston to Hayling Island. The pub has asked drivers to start arriving from 4:45 p.m. onwards before riding out at 6:30 p.m. "We're expecting at least 1,000 people already," organiser Alex Harding told the Southern Daily Echo. "Numbers are growing and growing. In Hayling Island, they did a memorial event for Simon and they had 1,500 people show up just 2 days after announcing it. Simon was much loved within the community and it is only appropriate we give him a biker's send-off." Ribbons in bright colours will be supplied for bikers to tie onto their vehicles to celebrate Simon's life. Tributes have poured in for the pub music scene stalwart, with the March Hare in Hairstock calling Simon a brilliant performer and a truly kind, genuine man. Simon's band was scheduled to perform at the Hayling Bike Night on the day of the crash, and a spokesperson called the lead singer a very hard act to follow. "He was the kind of guy that would make you feel like you'd known him for years," a spokesperson said. Southampton and District Motorcycle Club honoured Simon with a minute of applause rather than a minute of silence on August the 15th to allow him to rock on forever. Simon's family also paid tribute in a statement released by Hampshire Police, saying he was full of life and "our dad, our granddad, a devoted husband and brother."
Thank you, Jackie. My piece is headed Developer Shares Vision for Centre. A developer has shared his vision for the future of the disused River Park Leisure Centre. Jonathan Greatrix has proposed turning the centre into a new destination centre, including facilities such as a bowling alley, padel courts, as well as shops and restaurants. Mr. Greatrix said that he had originally submitted the plans to Winchester City Council in 2013, prior to the construction of the £40 million centre in Bar End. However, the plans were declined at the time. He said that leisure centre was paid for by the residents of Winchester District. Winchester's district is huge. It goes to Denmead, it goes north, it goes to places where people will still not drive to go to a leisure centre. If you look at the demographics, the people who normally go to leisure centres are normally within a 10-mile radius, and the Winchester district is much bigger than that. We have a crumbling facility, and Winchester is getting bigger and bigger each week. I suggest that while we don't need leisure centre number two, the plans I created could be adapted to give the district many more things that, like, for instance, a 10-pin bowling alley, indoor traditional bowling, padel courts. There is a massive shortage of padel courts. Mr. Greatrix said that when he originally submitted the plans, it would have cost £16 million. He says the predicted cost has now risen to £20 million. Last week, the Chronicle reported on urban explorers who took an illicit tour showing its poor state. Councillor Martin Todd, leader of the City Council, said, "As I've said, the Council is open to any and all ideas. We obviously can't reopen the decisions made in 2015 and 2016, but it's generally helpful to see ways that the building could be repurposed and updated, and if a suitable partner could be found, potentially brought back into use. It's particularly helpful to get Mr. Greatrix's idea about how his original plans from 2014 can be updated to reflect how things have changed. However, there have been calls to demolish River Park, with Tory councillors Caroline Horrell and Jan Warwick making representations that it should be torn down." Councillor Horrell said, "I am very concerned about the welfare of the individuals who get access to the building and what harm may come to people due to the way it's being accessed. There is a real concern about individuals' health and safety with what's going on. When we made the decision to build the new leisure park, we did agree that the River Park building would have to come down given the nature of the building. That was the obvious next step." Right, now we go on to the death notices, starting with Deborah, please.
Alan, Andrew Francis Alan, peacefully at home on the 1st of August, aged 87.
Barham, Christopher Ball, Barham, peacefully at home on the 11th of August, aged 76.
Hewitson, Joan Ann Hewitson, at Winchester Hospice on the 8th of August, aged 84.
Hughes, David Hughes, from Aldsford.
Kirkland Handley, Nicholas John Kirkland Handley, known as Nick, peacefully at Shawford Springs Care Home on the 10th of August, aged 81.
Locke, Iris Constance Locke, peacefully at home on the 9th of August, aged 96.
Masters, Christina Lillian Masters, on the 26th of July, aged 74.
Mills, Kathleen Mary Mills, suddenly but peacefully at hospital on the 15th of August.
Palmer, John Francis Palmer, at home in Westgate-on-Sea in Kent, aged 84.
Pettigrew, Michael Pettigrew.
Pitters, Susan Pitters, peacefully on the 7th of August, aged 84.
Prendergast, Michael Dennis Prendergast, in his sleep at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, 11th of August.
Rose, Jan Rose, peacefully at home in Alsford on the 10th of August, aged 78.
Scantlebury, Leslie Gerald Scantlebury, peacefully on the 11th of August, aged 87.
Stent, Mark Lyndon Hepworth Stent, peacefully at home on the 7th of August, aged 96.
Stickland, Paul Stickland, peacefully at home, 10th of August, aged 67.
Taylor, Susan Doris Taylor, née Watson.
Thompson, Dennis William Thompson, peacefully after a short illness at Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 5th of August, aged 98.
Thank you. Now we will go on to Christian comment, read by Jackie, please.
And this is entitled The Ferry Boat View of Christianity, and it's written by Moira Redmond. I've been on holiday in Ireland, and I'm writing this while I wait in my car to board a ferry at Dublin. No easy 90-minute flight from Southampton Airport for me. I took the boat. On the way out, headed for Holyhead in North Wales, I got caught up in horrendous traffic, such long delays that I feared I would literally miss the boat. I arrived after the last check-in time by a good few minutes, but they were cheerfully still loading on anyone who turned up, and I gave a huge sigh of relief as I swept along the gangway. On the way home, I wasn't taking any chances, so I allowed even more buffer time for my drive, and yes, you guessed, I was very early. And the sailing has been delayed, but I am enjoying the sunshine, sitting on the dockside, looking out to sea, and writing this. Because the situation made me think it was a good metaphor for the Christian way of life. Years ago, there was always the idea of the pearly gates of heaven, people queuing up to convince St. Peter of their worthiness. Some people might have to wait for heaven, they were not ready yet, and we're not even going near the idea of people end up in the other place. Of course, we won't know for sure till it happens to us, but the gospel stories tell us over and over again, you can come early to religion and get the benefit during your life, or you can come late with deathbed repentance, or anything in between. You can be a good sheep or a long-serving vineyard worker, or you might be a lost sheep or a lost coin, rescued and treated with delight, or a Johnny-come-lately doing just an hour of work. You will still get your reward. There may be some good-natured grumbling. We are only human. And I always think there is a communal sigh in church when that story of the vineyard comes up in Matthew chapter 20. The story is that workers turn up throughout the day, starting work, picking grapes whenever they arrive, but everyone gets paid the same. A child's view would be, that's not fair. Those who worked the full day are very put out, but the vineyard owner says they got what they signed on for. I hope Christians don't begrudge the benefits to anyone. We want people to join in, even if it's late in their lives, and it's fine that we all get the same rewards. On my ferry boat, it didn't matter who was first in line or last on, and I tried both. There was plenty of room for everyone, and you couldn't tell by looking who had slid on at the last moment and who had been hanging around forever. It's never too late to find the joys and rewards of Christianity, and we need never give up on our friends and family. These days, we hope and believe there's room for everyone.
Thank you, Jackie. Now we go on to letters to the editor. 10 letters in the Hampshire Chronicle this week, as usual on a variety of subjects, starting with Deborah, please.
Yes, the first letter is from Emma Motherwell. Protect children. A new survey commissioned by the NSPCC has found that 4 out of 5 parents in England believe that it is unacceptable to use physical punishment on a child. Our survey found that there was strong support, 59%, for the law to be changed and bring an end to children receiving physical punishment. We believe that this shows that current legislation around physical punishment is out of step with public attitudes. Under the current law, the defence of reasonable punishment allows parents to argue that it is reasonable to use physical force against their children. The NSPCC is calling on the government to use the Children's Wellbeing and Schools Bill to end physical punishment against children in England for good. More than 60 countries around the world, including Wales and Scotland, have already put measures in place to protect children from harm. But the current law means that children in England are not protected in law from physical assault. This needs to change. Emma Motherwell, NSPCC Local Campaigns Manager, South West and Channel Islands.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Judith Martin complains about the shocking state of the leisure centre. Your editorial comment, City Council must grasp the nettle, August the 21st, is right to say that many people will be surprised, if not shocked, about the state of the old River Park Leisure Centre shown in the Urban Explorers video. We're told that about £80,000 a year is being spent to secure the building, and yet clearly there have been many trespasses. The interior, as well as every exterior surface, is richly graffitied. In addition, the roof is obviously not watertight. The water has got in and ruined the floors and the equipment that might have been reused. And that is surely the most shocking thing. For all its expressions of net zero and environmental concern, the contents of the leisure centre were simply abandoned. It was never a question of keeping the building to restore it. The intention was always to demolish it. Yet good and no doubt expensive wooden floors were left to decay when only metres away the new cricket pavilion was being built with, presumably, new wooden floors. There are heaps of chairs and masses of sports equipment, from table tennis tables to pool toys, and there are no other sports centres or community facilities in the district or county that might have made use of them. Even selling them privately to recoup some of the cost would have been acceptable. Architectural salvage has been big business for decades now, and households are urged to recycle just about everything. Yet somehow, no one thought this might apply to River Park. P.S. Advocates of a Lido or Lido do not generally say, as you suggest, that the swimming pool could have been retained. It was never properly restored after the fire in the mid-1980s. And Winchester City Council has credible surveys showing its unsafe state. There are examples of open-air pools in remarkable reused structures, the most notable, perhaps, at Zollverein in Germany, in the UNESCO World Heritage Site in the old mining area. But River Park really doesn't compare. Judith Martin, Romsey Road, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
This letter's from Richard Evans, titled PCC Stepstone. I completely agree with Michael Mandler's letter in the Chronicle on the 21st of August about Donna Jones and her using her role as at PCC as a stepping stone. Readers may remember the annual PCC report, which came with council tax bills in March. This was not some dry list of objectively reported events and statistics. Providing a systematic picture of the state of affairs in the constabulary, it was a highly personalised presentation of achievements, fronted by a full-page picture of Ms. Jones and her name written in large block capitals. Only one word was written in a larger font, and that was down, relating to crime rates in selected categories. Robbery down 17%, vehicle offences down 12%, and burglary, bicycle theft and stalking and harassment down 12%, 17%, 9% respectively. These figures appear to be taken from statistics published by the ONS Crime in England and Wales Police Force Area data tables, and they do indeed show the falls quoted by Ms. Jones, but the changes in other categories of crime are nowhere near as good as those quoted. Overall, total recorded crime, excluding fraud, was down by 6% compared with a decrease of 3% for England and Wales as a whole. Yes, Hampshire is one of the better performing constabularies, but it is not outstanding. Five constabularies achieved double-digit percentage falls in total recorded crime, and 13 have performed better than Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. In short, there are two issues with that PCC report. First, it was not an objective statement that helped a local taxpayer decide if they were getting value for money. Second, it was a party election leaflet, and Donna Jones got it printed and distributed by Winchester City Council at our expense. And that's from Richard Evans, Fordington Avenue, Fulford, Winchester.
Thank you, Jackie. My letter, next one, is written by John Harding, and it's headed, Trustees Should Justify Actions. I was disturbed to read John Kine's account of the trustees of St Lawrence with St Swithin on Kingsgate hoarding £600,000 rather than make a responsible distribution of funds to local good causes. Chronicle Letters, August 21. His comment raises several questions. Presumably, the former Bishop of Basingstoke, David Williams, now the Bishop of Cornwall, knew of this situation, but what did he do about it to have to persuade the trustees to behave more honourably in relation to their accumulated funds? We know that the gap between the rich and poor in the diocese grows wider. Local food banks are stretched to the limit to provide basic supplementary services to people with low incomes. Similarly, services for the homeless, the young, the addicted and the unemployed in the area have been cut as local government budgets have been reduced by central government. We are told that the poor are always with us. But clearly the trustees and the priest in charge of the two Winchester parishes appear not to notice what is happening around them and prefer things just as they are. It would be good to see how the trustees can justify their actions in these hard times. That was written by John Harding, CBE, St John Street, Winchester. Deborah, please.
This next letter, the piece at the bottom that tells you who wrote it, seems to have disappeared, so we don't know exactly who wrote it. MP inaccuracies. A response from Southern Water to Danny Chambers' latest letter from Westminster. A recent opinion piece from Danny Chambers MP contained inaccuracies that we need to clarify. The article states that Southern Water is lobbying government to be allowed to draw even more water from the test. This is incorrect. Because of the prolonged dry weather in Hampshire, as a precaution, Southern Water has applied for a drought order. If granted, via public transparent process, this order would allow us to continue drawing the normal amount of water necessary to keep taps running in Hampshire and on the Isle of Wight, should flows in the river drop below a certain level. The drought order application is categorically not about increasing the amount taken from the river. Mr. Chambers asserts that we have failed to invest in fixing leaks and infrastructure. In fact, 2024-5 was a record-breaking year for leak prevention. We are currently investing in the UK's largest water resources project to reduce reliance on the test and the Itchen, including construction of the first reservoir in England for more than 30 years. Southern Water shareholders have invested £1.6 billion in the company since 2021, and a further £655 million will follow by the end of November. No dividends have been paid since 2017, and all profits have been reinvested in improving services for customers. That's why we have reported an operating loss for the last 3 years from somebody.
Thank you, Deborah. I have to apologise for the lack of the person and their address because it was me that edited the Chronicle this week, so I must have cut it off by mistake. Apologies. Richard, your letter, please.
Yes, Andy Smith has more to say about the elderly being reliant on bus services. I recently got my bus pass and was very much looking forward to using it. I was thrilled at the prospect of not having to contend with Winchester traffic and parking charges anymore. I also saw a message from Stagecoach announcing improved Winchester bus services. Better and better. Imagine my astonishment, not to mention disappointment, when I discovered this improvement meant our local bus services in Teg Down were to be reduced from 7 a day to just 2. This looks seriously like a misdescription under trade descriptions or advertising legislation. The Teg Down estate has a high proportion of older people who have lived here for many years, and the current number four bus service runs via the doctor's surgery and the hospital. Sadly, an increasing need. Others of all ages use the bus to help with carrying heavy shopping up the hill from local shops. What do Stagecoach and our local councillors think we are meant to do instead? I thought they were trying to reduce, not increase, traffic congestion in Winchester by discouraging journeys by car. Do they think we all have the means to pay for taxis when we need to go to hospital or shopping during a cost of living crisis? Being able to socialise is essential to maintaining good health too, or are we expected to stay at home and fade away? We feel we've been abandoned, and the huge reduction in this service discriminates disproportionately against older people. How long before they remove even those two services with some paltry excuse? Andy Smith, Teg Down means Teg Down, Winchester.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
I have another letter about the bus services, and this is from Pat Davis in Twyford. I am a partially sighted resident living in Twyford and completely reliant on the local bus service. I have been using the number 61 bus to keep appointments at the RHCH and the number 69 bus to visit exhibitions and talks in the Arc, plays at the Theatre Royal and films at the Everyman Cinema. I can then shop in the High Street with the treat of lunch in one of many cafes. So I was sad to see in an article in the Chronicle that the 61 bus has been cancelled from end of August. Then in Village Diary page, I read about improvements to 69 bus. The improvements will reroute the bus onto the M3 at Hockley Lights and terminate at Stop 7 Broadway. This means a half a mile walk uphill for me to the Arc, Optician and Hearing Aid Centre, Theatre and Cinema. Any shop or cafe I may consider using will require an uphill walk. The result of this unhelpful change of route will certainly result in less money flowing into businesses in Winchester, more use of online shopping. A sad day for many of us out-of-city residents, not an improvement to our bus service. And that's from Pat Davis of Seegers Lane in Twyford.
Thank you, Jackie. My next letter is written by Chris Gillam, and it's headed, What's the Grid Pattern in the Fields? Does anyone know what the underlying square grid pattern is in the arable fields between Morstead Road and Hockley Golf Course? Is it something to do with cattle droving across Morstead Down? Written by Chris Gillam, Upper High Street, Winchester, and there is a large photograph attached to this which very clearly shows the mowing marks from the tractor by the farmer, but at diagonal corners across both fields there is this crisscross pattern, and I have to say I cannot see what the reason for that grid pattern is, but somebody will know, no doubt. Deborah, your next letter, please.
And this letter is entitled GCSE COVID Year. The outstanding GCSE successes of the 2020 cohort of students cannot pass without a careful reminder and review of the additional challenges they faced. This year was the start of the COVID pandemic that affected their education. There was no long-term induction for these new secondary students. During lockdown and isolation, they worked steadfastly at home and online with essential peer and educational support. Teaching staff constantly revised their curriculum subjects to meet the challenge of COVID in the community. Changes in statutory requirements and sustained teacher and classroom assistant support. They were focused and dedicated to their tasks and the demands made. In many homes, COVID directly affected families and relatives of dedicated students. Constant parental support from those working at home, sometimes with the internet failing to give maximum effort to cope and learn. Resilience, frequent contact, determination, and students never being without support were the characteristics of a new learning method. Teachers worked from home, many working while unwell themselves. There was total focus, flexibility, and adaptation to these utterly new circumstances. But everything was directed to support students as they progressed through school years. Incredible hard work, resolution, solid effort and persistence to aim for and achieve the rewards ahead were the characteristics of this period. So as we endure the antics of fake UK nationalists worshipping St George, a Roman soldier, parented by a Turkish father and a Palestinian mother, let's metaphorically and practically wave the Union Jack as a true symbol to celebrate students' courage through adversity. They were given a model of direction and stamina by staff, parents, teachers, support staff, and anyone who instilled an unequivocal example of achievements and rewards through hard work. They are the people of this country. It is also those who want to live here with pride that deserve to be welcomed to work hard and achieve, reflecting the manner in which our stalwart Year 11 students have just done so. Peter Rees, Member, Winchester Labour Party, Monarch Way, Winchester.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, your letter, please.
Comes from Anne Fairy and is called Army Forgotten. Concerning the Forgotten Army, they were forgotten again by Winchester on BJ Day. No last post or reveille. How sad that the city did not pay any tributes to the brave men who fought in Burma and the rest of the Far East to bring peace in 1945. Shame on you. Anne Fairy, daughter of a Chindit, Stockbridge Road, Winchester.
Thank you. Now, if you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836. Or you can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you could write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Now we go on to editorial comment, read by Richard, please.
And the headline is, "It will cost the state a heck of a lot more." Two stories in the Chronicle today that highlight one of the structural flaws in government. We highlight the axing of the 61 bus service that serves the villages south of Winchester and the reduction of the 4 route that has been serving Fulflood and Teg Down into the city centre. The bus operator Stagecoach has dressed it up as improvements to the service, but try telling that to Pat Davis in Twyford and people in Teg Down who will be without their link to the city centre. MP Danny Chambers held a pavement meeting in Week last week to hear more about the impact of the cuts. He raised the vital point. It will cost the state a heck of a lot more if people can't live independently and at home. Buses are the most cost-effective ways to bring people independently, so I think it's very short-sighted. He added, everyone talks about getting people out of cars. You can't do that if there's no alternative. People are more likely to use service if they are regular and convenient. The root cause of the problem is the fact that Stagecoach is a commercial business with declining public subsidies in this ongoing age of austerity. Stagecoach, because of our business culture, aims to satisfy its shareholders before anything else, instead of being able to look at the big picture. It strikes the Chronicle as bonkers that there's no joined-up thinking over this. Billions of pounds are being spent on tackling global warming, and yet local decisions such as Stagecoaches are undermining that, not just in Winchester, but across the UK.
Thank you, Richard. Now we go on to the opinion piece, which this week is written by Kimberly Barber, who apart from penning this opinion piece, is also the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle, the Basingstoke Gazette, the Romsey Advertiser, the Andover Advertiser, the Salisbury Journal, and the Forest Journal. How she has time to write these things, I do not know. But here we go. It's headed, "Is it time buses were free?" This is the subject of the week, isn't it? "There have been several times in my life when I've had to rely on buses. Most memorable was the hour-long journey at the start of each school day through the Kent countryside from Sealsauter to Canterbury. Sealsauter being the first stop on the circuit, or probably better described as a council estate on a dead-end loop in the middle of nowhere, near Winstable, was the starting point for excruciatingly long journeys through my teenage years. During the school holidays, I would stay with my dad in the Cornish countryside, and I would wait for the hourly bus at the village bus stop, praying that it would actually turn up that day, and the stop wouldn't get left out due to the holiday traffic, so that I could escape to civilisation, cinema and shops in Truro. As I became more independent and got my own wheels, buses seemed insignificant. They faded away. I was the master of my own destiny now. Then there were the times when I had no car or driving licence. A couple of epileptic fits in 2008 saw my driving licence taken away from me for a year, quite sensibly, but it felt very unfair at the time. So it was back on the bus for me, learning the interconnecting routes in Portsmouth, so if the weather was too grim for a bicycle ride, I could still get to work. Living in a village, it's easy to rely on the car. After all, it's parked on my drive. I literally have to walk past it to get anywhere. One thing, especially in the later stages of bus riding, that always caught me by surprise was the escalating cost. Some days, especially in the baby toddler era, I felt like my fare was the one thing keeping the whole bus full of silver-haired passengers on the road. And when the bus fare works out to be more than it does to park for a whole day in the place you're going, well, what's the point? Especially if it means hoping and praying that the bus turns up on time, and with a buggy that there's actually room for you when it does. It's too much of a risk with fussy kids. When the government reduced the bus fares last year to a £2 ride, I thought, brilliant. And then tried to get a bus to Winchester from where I live in Swanmore. Yes, there is a direct route. 69 runs from Fareham to Winchester. It was one of the reasons we picked Swanmore to live. However, try getting the bus to Winchester for 9 a.m. There is a bus that runs from the village, but it only goes during school holidays, as during term time, it's for Peter Simmons students only. There is one that runs early, but only if you fancy a 6:30 a.m. departure for your 9 a.m. office job in the city. With the recent adjustments to bus times and routes, in particular the 69, it caused me to look on with hope that I might actually be able to get a bus to Winchester. I know it's not the capital of the country, but I'd like to think it's got a bit going for it, for 9 a.m. and then hopefully to get home again about dinner time. However, while these changes might just be slightly more useful for me, a bit more frequent, they, on the whole, seem like pointless tinkering. All it seems to have done is to upset people. Now, I'm not saying that we should blame Stagecoach, as they are a business and they need to make a profit to stay afloat, but where should we look? As the council pulls funding from routes, the bus company is quite rightly reviewing them to determine if they are actually worth running or not. It's a vicious circle that only stands to harm the most vulnerable in our society. In Winchester, the route from Barfield Close Park and Rive, serving Winchester Sport and Leisure Park to the Broadway, is free. Hardly anyone knows about this, but you can hop on and hop off. Sometimes even the bus drivers don't know about it. If our city can find it within its coffers to fund a partial route to boost the leisure centre's numbers, why not make the whole park and ride circuit free to ride? Once we've done that, it might be time to consider bus travel and whether we can learn lessons from overseas. If we are serious about getting people out of their cars, then we need a reliable, frequent and free bus service for everyone. Right, now we go on to Belgarum, which is an alternative look at the news. Two items, first of all from Deborah, please.
A student's new chapter in life. A young man who had a life-threatening condition is about to start a law degree in Winchester after pioneering treatment. Remy Perishak from Buckinghamshire will begin his studies at the University of Winchester, having been the first person in the world to receive gene therapy treatment to reverse the effects of P47 chronic granulomatous disease, or CGD. This condition, which affects just one in a million people, leaves patients vulnerable to severe inflection and inflammation. Doctors at Great Ormond Street Hospital harvested cells from Remy's bone marrow and used a modified, harmless HIV virus to deliver healthy genetic code to his cells, correcting the defective genes responsible for the CGD. The 19-year-old was diagnosed with the condition in 2007 and suffered recurrent infections throughout his childhood, with one severe infection in 2020 causing one of his lungs to collapse. Before the therapy, he was unable to eat normally and relied on intravenous nutrition. Remy said, "Having the gene therapy has completely changed my life. I can go out and about now without worrying, help my family out, and I'm excited to start university and start the next stage of my life."
Right, the second story from Belgarum, from Jackie, please.
Temporary gates are a clever move. It's only temporary and some people will dislike it, but Belgarum welcomes the temporary gates into Cathedral Close. The medieval doors have been removed for much-needed restoration work, expected to last around 6 months. In their place at Prior's Gate, the cathedral has installed temporary doors and the chance to tell the story of the surroundings. Step through 600 years of history has lots of snippets of interesting historical information. Who knew about the three musket holes at the bottom of the gates to give a clear view for marksmen up St. Swithin Street? And there's a photo of the gates. Well, the gates have been replaced by two large information boards about Prior's Gate.
Thank you. Now we go on to what's on in the locality. First of all, Deborah, there's a piece about the talking newspaper.
Open Studio, a talking newspaper for blind or sight-impaired people, is opening its recording studio to the public. The Winchester Talking Newspaper, WTN, is inviting people to visit its Upper Brook Street studio on Friday, September the 12th. The studio will be open to visitors from 11 a.m. just as the recording session draws to a close, and the public will be able to talk to the presenter and the readers and hear about WTN's activities. The free service has 50 volunteers who provide weekly recordings of extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for 70 listeners. They're looking for new volunteers to fill roles such as readers, copiers and editors. The organisation is particularly interested in individuals keen to help with the monthly audio magazine content. For those interested in volunteering, further information can be obtained by contacting the chairman, John Richards.
Thank you, Deborah. Lots of bits and pieces coming up in the next couple of weeks to interest you, hopefully. Wednesday, the 3rd of September, there's a concert at the United Church in Jury Street by postgraduate singers and pianists from Southampton University. That starts at 7:30 in the evening. Thursday, the 4th of September, Death Cafe, that sounds awful, but it is actually, if you know the Cabinet Rooms in Jury Street, they run a group where people can come and talk about death and make it a bit less frightening. So that is 5:45 on Thursday, the 4th of September. Also on that day, at the Arc, that's just opposite the Cabinet Rooms in Jury Street, there is a book launch, Ultimate Obsession by Day Henley. That starts at 7 p.m. Sunday, the 7th of September, Twyford Waterworks Open Day, that starts at 11 a.m. Monday, the 8th of September, a particularly nasty case, a murderously funny evening with Adam Kay. Join BAFTA-winning writer and comedian Adam Kay. That's at the Theatre Royal Winchester. Friday, the 12th of September, Mania, the ABBA tribute band. Once again, that's at the Theatre Royal Winchester. Also on that day, Friday the 12th, at... It is the church, St Mary's Church at Kingsworthy. It's a concert for cello and piano. That starts at 8 p.m. Sunday the 14th of September, it's the Byton Fate and Fun Dog Show. That starts at 1:30 in the afternoon. Thursday the 18th of September, the Dusty Show. That is celebrating decades of Dusty Springfield's life and music at the Theatre Royal. Sunday the 20th of September, Pirates Love Underpants. Yes, you did hear that correctly. It is a swashbuckling party of pirates on their quest to find fabled pants of gold for the captain's treasure chest. It is at the Theatre Royal Winchester, and that starts at 1:30 p.m. That same evening, that's actually the 29th, is the National Theatre Live, Inter Alia. Apparently that is a fabulous production. I'm hoping to see that myself. Sunday the 21st of September, 100 Small Things, a comedy theatre spoken word show celebrating the overlooked, the ordinary and the tiny miracles hiding in plain sight. That is also at the Theatre Royal Winchester. Whew. And finally, Wednesday the 24th of September, 5 Mistakes That Changed History. This is also at the Theatre Royal Winchester. That starts at 7:30. And before we go on to items and general news, let's have a look at the lighting up time for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 6:15 a.m. and set again at around 8 p.m. So on to items and general news, starting with Deborah, please.
Family Bookshop and Gallery celebrates 75 years in business. A family-run bookshop and gallery has marked 75 years of business with drinks and nibbles. Lawrence Oxley on Broad Street, Alsford, was founded by Lawrence Oxley in 1950 and was described by his son as an everything shop. Now run by the son, Anthony Oxley, and his daughter, Imogen Oxley, the business is stepping into its third generation. Imogen said, "One of the things I love most about working here is the conversations you have with people. Talking about books is always nice, but many of our customers come in and talk about their parents or grandparents and the memories they have here. We rely on our customers and we have a really loyal base, which helps. It's nice to be able to help people too." Lawrence's son, Anthony Oxley, is a Fine Art Guild commended and certified framer, specialising in the work of Victorian artist Miles Burkitt Foster, along with Old Hampshire maps. Anthony said, "It's hard work running the shop, especially at the moment with business rates being so high. Footfall is typically good though. We have regular customers as well as new ones, so hopefully we can keep going. It has changed a bit since my father had it in the 50s. It was an everything shop." Julie Mountain, one of Oxley's part-time employees, said, "I love talking about books and talking to people in general. This job suits my nature. It's so quirky and a lovely place to be. It's good that the town really supports the shop too. Many local residents and customers came to support the store's anniversary, including Winchester MP Danny Chambers. Dr. Chambers said, "These shops are not only good for the town and its business, but also to continue the legacy. Books are like a time machine. You can learn so much about the past, and it's almost like you're there. I love reading. I think these kind of shops are really important." And there are several photographs, a large photograph of the front of the shop with bunting and the three people, Anthony Oxley and... what was her name, Imogen? Yes, Imogen Oxley and Danny Chambers standing in front of the shop, and another large photograph of the inside of the shop, which obviously sells all sorts of other things apart from books, and a little picture of the shop.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Charity helping to reduce OAP loneliness. A charity is helping to reduce loneliness in older people through a range of support services. Age Concern Hampshire provides care and well-being centres across the county, offering vital health, well-being and social services that promote independence and connection for older residents. Una Davey, Head of Commercial at Age Concern Hampshire, said, "Our mission is to support older people across Hampshire to live well and age well. Through a wide range of services, including care and well-being centres, foot care, help at home and well-being services, we aim to promote independence, reduce isolation and improve quality of life for individuals and their families. The charity addresses loneliness and social isolation by providing safe, welcoming spaces where people can build friendships, share meals and participate in meaningful activities. The Help at Home service offers practical support with daily tasks such as cleaning, shopping and companionship, enabling individuals to remain in their own homes. Family carers also benefit from tailored daycare services, including specialist support for those caring for loved ones with dementia. The centres offer professional foot care delivered by qualified foot health practitioners with and to help maintain mobility and comfort. Founded in 1985, Age Concern Hampshire delivers support through care and wellbeing centres and hospital to home services and more.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie.
A common sense move to join Reform. A former Deputy Police and Crime Commissioner has joined Reform UK just a month after leaving the role. Terry Norton, who served in the role for Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, said the party offered integrity, accountability and leadership people can trust. Mr. Norton, who lives in the Havant area, spent more than 3 years in senior public office before suddenly stepping down last month. He said, "Over time, there was increasing uncertainty about the future of my role and a clear breakdown in communication at the top. It became difficult to carry out my duties effectively or with the transparency I believe is essential in public service. So I made the decision to step away and refocus my efforts where I could make a real difference." Mr. Norton said his move to Nigel Farage's party was based on principle, not party politics. He added, "Millions of people across this country and thousands across our county feel politically homeless. I've spoken to countless residents who are tired of broken promises and politicians who put self-interest and party before people. Reform UK offers a genuine alternative, one rooted in common sense and straight-talking leadership." He plans to play an active role in the party at both local and national levels, focusing on South East Hampshire. He said, "I'm just getting started. I'll be working closely with others to grow Reform UK's presence and to help bring politics closer to the people it's meant to serve. This is not a step aside, this is a step forward." Mr. Norton was first appointed Deputy Police and Crime Commissioner in April 2022 and was reappointed for a further 4 years in July 2023.
Right, my piece is headed Lost Monastery Walls Revealed Under Lawn. The exceptionally dry weather this year is revealing lost buildings beneath lawns and parkland. Parch marks, which appear during dry conditions, indicate where grass over buried walls or archaeological sites dries at a different rate. These marks offer a map of underground structures. This year they have been spotted at various locations, including Mottisfont in Romsey. Tom Domrett, the National Trust's head of historic environment, said, parchmark visibility varies from year to year, historically only showing well every 15 years or so. This year, parchmarks are showing more clearly and have also been recorded earlier in the year after an exceptionally dry spring. While we have seen parch marks at our places for many years, in more recent years, the frequency has noticeably increased, including in 2018 and 2022, as climate change increases the likelihood of hotter, drier weather in spring and summer. At Mottisfont, the remains of the 13th century and 16th century wall foundations have appeared on the south lawn. These are the remnants of monastery buildings, including a cloister and various other structures, as well as later Tudor alterations. Mottisfont was once a prosperous Augustinian priory, founded in 1201 by William Brewer, or Brewer. It declined after the effects of the Black Death and was dissolved in 1536 by Henry VIII, who gave it to a favoured statesman, Sir William Sandys, who died in 1540, who turned the entire priory buildings into a Tudor house. The house was remodelled into its present form in the 1700s, when some of the remains of the former priory, as well as Tudor buildings, would have been buried under the lawn. National Trust archaeologist James Brown said, "These are intriguing glimpses into the oldest history of buildings known here at Mottisfont. We have carried out some geophysical surveys, but the buildings have never been dug, so their secrets remain hidden, except for these rare moments when their outlines appear in the lawns." At Fountains Abbey in North Yorkshire, the remains of lost buildings can be seen on the West Green. The marks represent some important lost buildings of the abbey, with the largest an aisled hall, believed to be a large guest hall. The interior space was divided into aisles by rows of columns, which show up as parch marks. Deborah, please.
Raise a toast to new independent city bar. After much anticipation, a bar offering toasties and cocktails has officially opened in Winchester. Toast, located in Drury Street, celebrated its official opening on Saturday, August the 16th, after doing a soft launch for friends and family on Thursday and Friday. Owner Ben Jones, 33, from Fair Oak, moved into the vacant premises in June and began turning the space into his version of a modern-day speakeasy. Ben said, "It's gone so well and the reception has been amazing. We've been so busy. Today we had a handful of bookings, but we've been full since the morning. It's so rewarding to see people enjoying it, and the team are doing great." Offering an extensive brunch, evening, dessert and drinks menu, options include open and classic toasties, loaded fries, French toast and matcha. Locally sourced coffee, juices and 50 different alcoholic and non-alcoholic cocktails are also available. Jordan Scannell, 31, team member, said, "I've only ever worked in chains, so when I got the opportunity to work at an independent, I was excited to have some creative input. Hannah and I were brainstorming and have put a lot of love into creating the matcha options. I've had loads of people say it's the best they've ever had. I love creating them and making them look nice. My favourite is the rose one. It's subtle, but an acquired taste. The petals make it look pretty." Emily Lloyd Davis, 22, team member, said, "I joined at the beginning when we opened, and it's been great. The team is really nice and everyone gets along. We're still learning new things, but it's going well. All the food is amazing too. When we had a menu tasting session last week, my favourite are the waffle fries. Toast's opening hours are Wednesday to Sunday from 9 till 3 and reopen in the afternoon from 5 to 11.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Tennis stalwart Arthur chalking up a century. A stalwart member of Winchester Tennis Club is preparing to celebrate his 100th birthday. Arthur Wilkinson will reach 100 on Saturday, August the 30th. Born in Southend-on-Sea, he's been a member of the Winchester Rackets and Fitness Club since moving to the city 55 years ago. A 14-year-old at the outbreak of World War II, Arthur was evacuated to his uncle and aunt in Cambridgeshire, where he learned butchery skills and delivered orders with a horse and cart. At the age of 18, he was recruited as a driver for paratroopers training for D-Day in the Lincolnshire countryside. He's described to family and friends how relieved he was to collect them after each drop, but has never forgotten the journey that ended for many behind the enemy lines in Normandy. On returning to Essex, Arthur joined his father in the family nursery business before applying for a job with the RSPCA, starting work in Windsor in 1952. He became successively an inspector and then senior inspector in Bodmin, Swindon and Guildford, before rising to the top job of regional superintendent and settling with wife Audrey in Winchester in 1970. As he approaches his 100th birthday, Arthur has attributed his longevity to remaining active throughout his life. Very specifically, he credits fellow tennis club and knee surgeon Hugh Fox for providing him with not two but three new knees during this period. It was only at the age of 98 that Arthur agreed to hang up his racket. Despite retirement from the courts, Arthur continues to appear regularly at the tennis club. He'll be celebrating his 100th with a private party with his family. He will also be accompanied by his grandchildren and his four great-granddaughters. Linda, 70, said, "It's an incredible achievement for him to be living on his own at 100. He does everything himself. Over the years, he's been brilliant with the grandchildren. He's rescued them when they were stuck in car parks, locked out of cars. My daughter took him to Spain at the age of 90. He's never felt old. I was 70 this year and I said, I feel old. And he said, we can grow old together." He doesn't think of himself as an old man.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
Molly's miracle after horror with impaling. A dog has survived a life-threatening injury after being impaled by a stick. Molly, a 5-year-old German Shepherd and Golden Retriever cross, was injured while playing fetch during a walk with her owner in Forley near Southampton. The stick became stuck in the ground and impaled her as she tried to pick it up, entering under her tongue and travelling through her neck towards her chest, close to the windpipe, stopping just above her heart. Her owner, Will Walker, said, "We were those typical owners who just thought it would never happen to us and it can't be that dangerous. Molly only had an interest in sticks for the last few months and we only threw them occasionally. She wasn't running with it, nor was it sticking out of the ground, and yet a serious injury still occurred." Molly was first taken to a nearby vet before being referred to Anderson Moore's veterinary specialists in Winchester, where she spent nearly 2 weeks in intensive care. Hilario Gonzalez Montano, a small animal surgery resident at Anderson Moore's, said, "Molly was playing when she was impaled by a stick, which went around 40 centimetres from inside her mouth to the chest and stopped very close to her heart. The surgery was very challenging, as the stick was close to critical structures like the heart, aorta, esophagus, jugular vein and carotid artery. It had also left lots of splinters and bark between the muscles and chest, which was difficult to remove. The team and I spent the whole night treating Molly, from when she was admitted at 8 p.m. until around 7 a.m. the following day. Due to infections caused by debris, Molly required 2 further surgeries and spent 10 days in the hospital's emergency unit. Hilario has urged owners to avoid using sticks while playing with their dogs. He said, Definitely never throw sticks for your dogs. Stick injuries are something we see quite regularly, but such a big stick going so deep is very unusual. Molly was very lucky. I would advise pet owners to use a rubber toy when playing fetch with their dogs. Will has since banned sticks from playtime and recently completed a canine first aid course. He said, "The team at Anderson Moors are the best of the best. Every single one of them is a dedicated professional with 100% commitment to the well-being of your pet. We are forever grateful." And there's a gorgeous picture of the two owners, Will and his wife, and also of Molly, who looks gorgeous and is smiling for the camera.
Thank you, Jackie. Independence for Ukraine is celebrated. Members of Winchester's Ukrainian community celebrated their country's Independence Day with a special event in the city centre. The event, organised by the Winchester Ukrainian Cultural Association, was held on Saturday, August the 23rd, Ukraine's National Flag Day, in the United Church in Jewry Street. This year marks the 34th anniversary of Ukrainian independence, which was officially declared on August the 24th, 1991. The event features an array of performances from the Ukrainian choir, Kalina, including solo performances from Lala Smaglova. Members of the community were also invited to share what freedom means to them, as well as learn more about Ukrainians' history. Speaking after the event, Anna Wright, who came to Winchester 3 years ago after the Russian invasion began, said, "It's always a pleasure to see that we are not alone here and that Ukraine still matters and that people still stand with Ukrainians. So I think the event was really, really good. I was happy that we had some tears because sometimes you have to share your emotions and that is always so sincere. But we also had lots of smiles, which is always a bonus. I think that is what life is as a Ukrainian now. Tears versus smiles all the time. We did not expect we would have so many people willing to speak, but I believe it has just proved how important these events are. Sometimes when you are alone in a foreign country, it could feel lonely, but when you come to a community and it is welcoming and friendly, and you can reflect on what you generally don't speak about, I think that was a big success for the evening. There's such a long list of people we want to thank because we were supported by Winchester City Council, Hampshire County Council, by St Peter's Church and the United Church. They are still 3.5 years later arranging free coffee and cake twice a week for Ukrainians to come and chat and feel part of a family. Yulia Dobrovik, chair of the Winchester Ukrainian Cultural Association, said, "I think it was very informative. With our events, we try to share culture. We try to share out traditions, but we still want to give information. For many people, they don't know enough about Ukraine, about the path we went through to get independence. Ukraine was under the Soviet Union for quite a long time, and when we got independence, we had an opportunity to build the life we wanted. And now Russian aggression is trying to destroy what we fought for all those years to gain." Councillor Shudarka Ashwal, the Mayor of Winchester, said, "We fully support Ukraine in the struggle it is going through. We are a city of refuge and we are really behind the country. Ukrainians have really done their best to try to integrate in the community and that is laudable." And this piece is accompanied by two photographs, one of some assembled Ukrainians, all in traditional dress, and they've even put the mayor in a traditional Ukrainian top, very colourful it is. And there's also a photograph of Lala Smaglova performing, and in the background there's somebody at a grand piano accompanying her. And that person is me. Deborah, please.
I've got a photograph here of the little road that runs up beside the side of the Theatre Royal in Winchester and the Library Arc Centre on the other side of the road. And the actual road surface has been painted with colourful reds and pinks, all sorts of things. And it also goes onto the pavement on the theatre side. and the article is entitled Theatre Playing to Crowd with Transformation Project. New artwork has been installed outside the Theatre Royal in Winchester. Play to the Crowd's Inside Out, Art on the Street, was placed on Tower Street earlier this week. It was created to bring the inside outside and celebrate the live performances seen on stage. The artwork, which bridges the Theatre Royal and the Arc, is inspired by the building's rich heritage and features elements from the auditorium, including the proscenium arch, spotlights and seats. The colours were also taken from the auditorium, and finishing touches will be made over the next 4 weeks. It was designed by P. Green Design Studio, a Winchester-based company with more than 30 years' experience designing for hospitals, schools and libraries, including the Arc next door. The artwork is the final stage of a transformation project on the building that began in 2019, which saw the installation of bifolding doors to let more light in. When the artwork is completed, it will act as a colourful seating area outside the building. The project was finished with the help of Winchester City Council and private donors.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
All aboard for free bus rides. Buses are the thing.
They are, aren't they?
A fleet of vintage buses and coaches will offer free rides to celebrate Winchester Heritage Open Days. The Friends of King Alfred buses will be rolling out its unique collection on Sunday, September the 14th. These historic vehicles served the city and its surroundings for 50 years until 1973 and are set to provide a nostalgic journey for passengers. A spokesperson for Winchester Heritage Open Day said, "The green King Alfred buses provide a nostalgic sight as they make their way through the city streets, and an even better view as you ride them, so don't miss your chance to take part. Starting from the Broadway, near the statue of King Alfred, the buses will travel to various villages including Littleton, Sparshall, Crawley, Sutton Scotney, Wanston and Stoke Charity? Is that right?
Yes.
To village.
Never heard of it. Well, each ride will have a conductor issuing free tickets to passengers. A timetable is available, helping passengers plan their journey to stop at places like Wanston Arms Pub or take a country walk before catching a later bus. These can be purchased on the day for £6 or ordered in advance for £7 from our website or by post from 2 Highcroft Road, Winchester. The Winchester Heritage Open Days, running from September the 12th to the 21st, aims to offer both locals and tourists an opportunity to delve into the historical charm of the city. The event is packed with more than 190 free activities, ranging from tours and talks to workshops and exhibitions. For more information, visit Winchester Heritage Open Day website.
Okay, Richard, Jackie, please.
Advice on how to save money on energy bills. Free advice will soon be arriving at the Brooks to educate people on how best to save money and become more energy efficient within their homes. Winchester Action on Climate Crisis, or WINAC, will run a home energy pop-up in the Brooks Centre from Friday, September the 19th to Monday, September the 22nd, aiming to educate and myth-bust. The four-day pop-up will include talks from energy professionals, construction workshops, heat pump and solar installer stands, as well as bookable advice sessions and peer-to-peer advice. Stuart Mills, WINAC project manager, said, "This is our first pop-up in the Brooks and they have been fantastic in offering us such a great opportunity. We want to be able to reach people and get them thinking about home energy as well as being able to offer something that people can trust. We have found through running open home visits that there is an element of mistrust with commercial firms. The difference with us is that we don't use these services to make money. If homes are more comfortable, there are not only financial benefits, but health benefits too. A lot of things can be done that are relatively inexpensive, like turning down the boiler. The charity also gives advice as part of their My Home Made Better project to customers of any tenure, whether it's long-term homeowners, those that rent, or even new families and first-time buyers. For more information, visit the WINAC website, which is winacc.org.uk.
Thank you, Jackie. I've got theatre gets £20,000 for essential refurb. A theatre has received £20,000 grant for essential refurbishments. The Theatre Royal Winchester was given the grant by Garfield Western Foundation to improve its outdated stalls toilets. The theatre, run by the charity Play to the Crowd, has had to deal with ongoing maintenance issues, including broken fixtures and water damage from flooding. This has resulted in closed cubicles and increased costs for the charity. The charity said that the state of the facilities has become detrimental to the theatre's future. The charity's appeal to the Garfield Western Foundation outlined the state of the facilities, which were installed more than 25 years ago and had become unable to support the 80,000 people who visit the theatre every year. The proposed project includes refurbishing the current facilities, adding more cubicles to reduce queues and waiting times, and installing additional standalone enclosed cubicles that anyone can use. The project will also improve the layout of the facilities, include water-saving and energy-efficient features, and bring the toilets up to a standard seen throughout the building. The aim is to provide a more appealing and comfortable experience for all, with audience members and visitors benefiting from modern, reliable and sustainable facilities. Play to the Crowd is now running a fundraising appeal for the refurbishments, with aims to raise £100,000 towards the final phase of the work. The Garfield Western Foundation grant marks a considerable milestone towards the appeal's goal. The Stalls Toilets project marks the final phase of the theatre's ongoing front-of-house refurbishment, which began in 2019. The Garfield Western Foundation has been a long-standing supporter of the charity and involved in the theatre's building's upgrades from the beginning. The fundraising manager, Becca Moore, said, "We are extremely grateful and delighted to have the Garfield Western Foundation's continued support of our charity with this and their most recent grant helping towards the completion of our front-of-house refurbishments. This vital funding would go a long way in ensuring the charity's overall financial stability in the months and years to come. And we look forward to welcoming our brilliant audiences to the theatre in the autumn once the work is complete. We cannot express enough our sincere gratitude to the Garfield Western Foundation." Deborah, please.
Bakery to close after sale falls through. A Winchester bakery has announced that it will close after a potential buyer pulled out at the last moment. The Village Bakery in Priors Dean Road, Harestock, will shut its doors for the last time on Monday, September the 15th. In a post on the bakery's Facebook page, owner Carla Foster Yeager said, "Not our usual jolly selves, but there goes. The Village Bakery will be closing permanently on September the 15th. It's been a very tough decision, but I know it's the right one, even though I still have several moments of doubt right now. Thankfully, all of my permanent staff, Karen, Reese, and Chloe, have secured alternative employment and leave next Friday to start their new jobs on September the 1st. I'm grateful for the friends we've gathered thanks to the shop, and I will continue to support our local community in different ways. The free time will allow me to do more volunteer work for and with St Barnabas Church, the Winchester Hospice and a local dog rescue centre. Before the rumour mill goes into overdrive, the reason for closing is that we have been in negotiations with the buyer for the last 13 months. Literally at the 11th hour, he pulled out of the sale, leaving me to make a decision on how to proceed. Given changes in my personal situation, I made the decision to close, tough as it is. We look forward to seeing many of you between now and the 15th. We'll also continue making our celebration cakes to order, but more of that another time. This closure comes after the multiple other businesses in Winchester have shut their doors, including the Bridge Patisserie on Bridge Street, which closed at the beginning of August after 25 years. Other businesses which have shuttered this year include Wine Shop, Toscanicchio in Parliament Street, the F45 Gym in Winchester High Street, and Blueberry also in the High Street.
And can Deborah Richard, please?
Twyford resident upset over bus changes. Now, this has been quite a theme of this edition, hasn't it?
Yes.
But, and we've had several mentions of Pat Davis of Twyford, who's been very busy complaining about it all, and rightly so. And here is a large photograph of Pat at the Twyford bus stop, where the 69 bus stops, for now. She's looking a bit severe, because she's not very happy. A Twyford woman is unhappy over the sudden changes to her regular bus service. Pat Davis, 87, of Seegers Lane, stopped driving 4 years ago when she became partially sighted and is reliant on buses into Winchester, particularly number 69. Stagecoach recently announced major changes to their routes serving the Winchester area from Sunday, August the 31st, which has hit many residents. Mrs. Davis says it means she can no longer use the 69 into the city centre as it terminates at the Broadway, and she's unable to walk to the upper end of the High Street. She said, "I was very disappointed there was no consultation before. I usually get off at the Ark and meet my friend, as we frequently go to the exhibition and then the brasserie for something to eat. For me, there's a lot of money changing hands in that area, and I won't be able to do that now. I really think it's a serious social issue, and it's a shame it's being tampered with."
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
Talk by serial killer catcher. True crime fans are invited to a talk by a genuine serial killer catcher. The Makings of a Murderer 2, The Real Manhunter, will be at the Theatre Royal Winchester on Tuesday, September the 9th. The show will explore how some of the UK's most evil murderers were caught and is presented by Senior Investigating Officer Colin Sutton. Sutton, former head of a Met Police murder squad, caught serial killer Levi Belfield and night stalker Delroy Grant. He will provide insights into his career, sharing what it is like to chase and catch a serial killer. Visit the Royal Winchester website or call Winchester 840 440.
Thank you, Jackie. Threat of poachers. Residents across Hampshire are being warned to watch out for potential poachers. The shooting season for partridge, pheasant and duck is set to begin soon, running from September to February in Hampshire. This period sees a surge in crimes, with rural offenders not only targeting wildlife for poaching, but also engaging in burglary and criminal damage. Landowners and gamekeepers often suffer abuse, threats or even serious violence when confronting poachers or trespassers. There were 55 reports of game bird poaching between September 2024 and February 2025. Inspector Kath MacDonald of the Country Watch Rural Crime Task Force said, "Poaching not only involves deliberate cruelty to animals, but we know that those who poach are often linked with wider crime networks involving theft, burglary, criminal damage, violence and antisocial behaviour." Earlier this month, the task force arrested a man in Bishop Waltham area. The search of his vehicle revealed the presence of dead pheasants, a catapult, ball bearings, some cannabis and a knife. He has been released under investigation. Michelle Nudds, South East Director of the British Association for Shooting and Conservation, said, "Wildlife crime impacts both individuals and communities. The scale of poaching and hare coursing varies geographically and seasonally, often organised by criminal gangs." Deborah, please.
Hen Dogs Hospital Work of Art. A new piece of artwork has been installed on a children's hospital ward. Hampshire-based street artist Hen Dog has unveiled his latest creation on the walls of the Northbrook ward at the Royal Hampshire Hospital in Winchester. The large black and white image depicts a teddy bear on crutches, with his right leg in a cast and his head bandaged. Talking about the piece, which has been donated to Hampshire Hospital's charity for the benefit of young patients, the elusive artist Hen Dog said, "It's an honour to be able to share Lost Bear with the children's ward. I'm hoping it brightens up the space for patients, families and staff. I couldn't have hoped for a better home for him." As the face behind the art continues to remain a mystery, the piece was unveiled by members of the nursing team from the ward. Morgan Hughes, fundraising assistant at Hampshire Hospital's charity, said, "We're absolutely over the moon to have such a piece of artwork donated to us."
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Dentists set to take on new NHS patients this year. A dental surgery is opening its books for new NHS patients for the first time. Oliver's Battery Dental Surgery, which has been operating for more than 15 years, aims to accept 200 new NHS patients. This comes despite the practice having a waiting list of more than 1,200 patients. The dental practice has the capacity to accommodate up to 1,000 new patients, but it has been unable to secure additional NHS funding to do so. A spokesperson for Oliver's Battery Dental Surgery said, "We're dedicated to NHS dentistry and providing quality dental care to the patients of Winchester and beyond. The last time we started working through our NHS waiting list, we had patients travelling to us not only from mainland Hampshire, but also from the Isle of Wight and as far afield as Bristol and Devon. I'm sure our practice is not alone in having patients who cover great distances to visit, but this is just another indication of the cracks in the NHS dentistry." The surgery is now welcoming 200 new NHS patients on a first-come, first-served basis.
Thank you, Richard. Now, our last item of news from Jackie, please.
A real nose for catching criminals. They sniff out danger, track down suspects, and help keep our communities safe. On International Dog Day, police are shining a spotlight on the vital work of their canine colleagues, who play a key role in frontline policing across the Isle of Wight. The dogs are part of the Joint Operations Unit, JOU, which supports Hampshire and Isle of Wight Constabulary and Thames Valley Police. Sergeant Charlie Winchester said, "Our police dogs are more than just working animals. They are highly skilled, dedicated members of our team. We're incredibly proud of their expertise and the invaluable contributions they make across both forces. Their commitment, intelligence, and unwavering loyalty truly make a difference in policing. And today, we celebrate everything they do to help keep communities safe." And there's a joyous picture of PC Kelly Barty in her full uniform and police dog Major also in his uniform, which is a harness with police written on it, and they're both beaming for the camera.
Thank you, Jackie. You will have gathered that Jackie is our designated dog reporter this week. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. Before you go, another reminder that if you have a problem with your recording, the contact number is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. And would you please put the memory stick and the address label in the wallet when you finish with it and return it to us as soon as possible. Well, thanks to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. And, of course, many thanks to our readers, Deborah.
Goodbye.
Richard.
Goodbye.
Jackie.
Goodbye.
And from me, Peter. Until the next time, goodbye.